Welcome to Knowles Abroad, a podcast by Florida State University International Programs. I'm Hannah.
And I'm Zoe, and we're your hosts. On this podcast, we'll talk about study abroad from the perspective of the students, faculty, staff, and alumni who make it an experience worth sharing. We'll also bring you travel tips and fun facts from around the globe.
On today's episode, we talk with Mark Wheatley, director of FSU's Theatre Academy London, or TAL program. Mark shares how he got his start in the world of theater, what led him to FSU, and discusses diversity in theater and why it is a useful medium for discussing social and political issues. Hey, how are you doing today?
Good. I'm very well, thank you.
Great. Can you start us off by introducing yourself to our listeners?
Sure. I'm Mark Wheatley, and I am the director of Theatre Academy London, which is FSU's theatre training program here in London. And I teach playwriting and screenwriting.
Wonderful. To start us off, can you talk a little bit about your background and how you became involved in theatre?
Sure. It was, as with a lot of people, I think, it was a bit by accident and a bit by design. I was writing. I've always written. I was too busy playing football as a child to write very much, but by the time I was out of university and at university, I was writing. And I think I suggested a documentary idea to the BBC. I'd actually gone to the BBC for something, for an interview, which I needn't go into here. It was a terrible interview and I failed on all counts. But I had a discussion about this documentary idea. And the idea, in case you're interested, you might be interested, was about music, which I love. And it was about music in church. It was about gospel music. It was about the Salvation Army here, the Pentecostal churches here. And, of course, mostly black music and crossover music that went gospel to soul and R&B. And I suggested this, said a lot about religion and about music. Any case, they thought it was a lovely idea, but they didn't make the documentary, as often happens. But they did offer me a job. And so I got a job researching documentaries. Instead of my wonderful idea, I think I did a documentary on boxing, of all things, and the National Health Service and Northern Ireland's political issues. But it was great, and it's a kind of storytelling. Of its own, of course. I then, at that time, wanted to do drama for TV. And they let me do some drama. I had an interview with the drama people, and I switched from documentaries to dramas. And I wrote my own short pieces and plays. And then I, through all that, I hooked up with Complicité Theatre Company, and I began working for Complicity.
And after all of that, how did that lead you to working for FSU?
I think what happened is that the dean of FSU at the time saw a show that I had had a part in, that I had written. And a faculty member of FSU School of Theatre pointed him in my direction, and we had a meeting, and I came to talk to students. And he asked me to teach a class, and we had a lovely time. I taught a devising class at the time, because that's largely how Complicité work. And that was great fun. Lots of games, lots of exercises, lots of laughter. And I remember the dean coming to watch the class, and he said, "That's a really great class," he said, but he wanted a different one. he wanted something more along the lines of Introduction to London Theatre. I argued that this was a better class, and we had fun with that idea, but we did both classes. So that's how we began doing Introduction to London Theatre and devised theatre as well.
Can you talk a little bit about how the Theatre Academy London program was developed and how it serves FSU and other universities today?
Sure. I should probably say to begin with, the thing I love about TAL, teaching for FSU, is the energy and drive that the students have. Watching them enjoy their work watching them enjoy the faculty we've got for them. And as I say, the drive, they are different from British students, it seems to me. They're more on the front foot and they're delighted to be engaged. And that's every faculty member's dream. And it's partly why I've been able to get such good faculty. There you are, I'm boasting a little bit, but they are excellent faculty and they're all professionals in the theatre. They're all actors, they're all writers, they're all directors. One of those things, not all of those things at once. And it's because of the students. It's because we have that wonderful bond between the students and the faculty. What we had here was the London Theatre Experience through School of Theatre. And that went... the Dean of the School of Theatre asked me to coordinate it all. And we had that running for many years with great success. And we had pretty much maxed out the number of students who could come on that programme. So I suggested that we open the programme to students from other theatre schools in the United States. I had no idea how we would do that. But I spoke to Dr. Pitts, Jim Pitts, the director of international programs at FSU, and I pointed out that we had a wonderful faculty resource here, these professional people, theatre makers, that we had wonderful students, and above all, we had this wonderful building, which is unique because we don't have to rent any space. We have our own building. Anyway, Jim said yes, and I am delighted that he did. He was willing to give it a go. He was willing to see what we could do. And so we went from there, and we now have developed a program which has regular returning students, most of them on BFA programs and some BA programs from wonderful universities like Elon University and Chapman in California, Muhlenberg College in Pennsylvania, Penn State, and many, many others. I better not mention them all because I will miss people out. But that's how we've got where we've got, and it's delightful.
Yeah, that sounds super wonderful that that FSU is able to support not only our own students, but also students from other universities, and that other universities entrust their students and their training and their education to Florida State. I think that's such a testament to the program that y'all have built and the faculty that are in London ready to engage with those students. I just think it's really cool that our university welcomes those other students to participate in our programs.
Absolutely. And if I may say so, one of the things that students always say they love, whether they're FSU students or students from elsewhere, is the fact that they are working with other students, not only FSU students, not only Elon students, and they're making contacts for the future. And I know for a fact that many of them have made little groups of mixed groups from different universities, and they all meet up in New York and Chicago and wherever they've ended up in the theater. So that's a really great to be part of that.
Absolutely. Great networking opportunity, I'm sure. And I'm sure it's also a good place to exchange ideas and techniques and different things that they've learned from their different universities and faculties and everything. So that's really wonderful. You've mentioned in previous conversations how diverse theater can be. Can you discuss that a little bit more and how theater is important for discussing social and political issues?
Sure. The theater always prides itself on this. And I think one of the reasons it does pride itself on this is because it's able to be very responsive. It's able to be quite quickly responsive to the latest social and political events. You can, if you work hard enough at it, get a play written and rehearsed and up in front of an audience in about a year. It depends how much funding you've got and what kind of project it is and how big it is or how small it is. Smaller projects you can get up even quicker. And that's a good turnaround period. So you can then address things that people already have on their minds. And of course, that's true also if you're doing Shakespeare, you know, and Shakespeare can be read through many different lenses and show us many different things because he was such a fantastic writer. But of course, there are nowadays many different competing stories, and we want to hear new stories from places we haven't perhaps heard them, and particularly here in London and in the south of the United Kingdom, we have a very multicultural society, and that is all very exciting. So we have a variety of voices and identities. And this leads to a variety of plays. I know that coming on in London in the fall, there are some fascinating plays dealing with current social and political issues. I'll mention two, perhaps. There is a play about race called White Noise, actually written by Susan Laurie Parks, who is an American author. And she says this is about race from both the black and the white perspective. And that's a very interesting thing. I'm looking forward to that. There's also a play, here's one for you, Sundown Kiki. I'll read what it says here. It says, this is a celebration of queer South London. Marvellous. So that's coming on. That's going to be at the Young Vic. You know, there are many others. There's a play called Overflow at the Bush, which is a play, believe it or not, which is going to be set in the ladies' room, because that is the ladies' bathroom, that is, because that is the site of the controversy of who has access to this space. So there are just three examples of how responsive the theatre can be. Of course, there are now questions about who has the right to write or perform particular parts. So we have questions about, you know, should only trans actors play trans characters and gay actors play gay characters? This is very interesting, and I think it is very worthwhile conversation to have. There's a lot to be said for this. I won't go over all of it now. Although I was interested to see there was a very famous play done recently called The Inheritance by Stephen Daldry, again by a young American writer, and its cast was predominantly gay characters. Stephen Daldry himself is a gay man. He would describe himself as such. But I knew one of the actors in that show, and he very interestingly told me that Stephen had insisted that the actors need not be gay to play the gay roles in the play. And I thought that was very interesting. And in the end, about half of the characters were played by gay men. They were mostly men, and half by straight men. Interesting point. I'm not quite sure what it means, but there you are. I throw it out there as a thought. And then the only other thing I think is worth saying on this is very interesting. All these questions are fascinating, and they're coming out in everything we do in the theatre at the moment. But the theatre is about empathy. Crucially, it is about empathy. It's about, can we understand another's position? And I think we have to keep an open mind about writers being able to write from another's point of view. I think that's very important. And I always give to my, although we must engage in the debate, I always give to my writing students my favorite example of this. I'll give it to you very, very quickly. There is a writer called Frank McGinnis. And he wrote a play, by the way, my top 10 plays, just for its title. And its title is this. It is Observe the Sons of Ulster Marching Towards the Somme. That is its title, a rather lovely title. It is about Northern Irish soldiers who I'm going to describe to you as unionist. They want to remain in Great Britain. They are Protestant. They are avowedly heterosexual. That becomes important in a minute. They are conservative, with a small c. Frank McGinnis, though, who I met because he worked for Complicité, I know that Frank would describe himself as, from the south of Ireland, a Republican, a nationalist, a socialist, a Catholic who is gay. And Frank wrote about those people who could not be more different from him. And it was a glorious play. And nobody said he didn't have the right to write it or he did it badly. And I think we have to be open. If the writer's good enough, I think they can do it. And if they know they've done their research and they know the world they're writing about. So it's all controversial. It's all exciting. I'm talking too much about that. You've got me going now, so I'll stop.
No, I think that's wonderful commentary and great things to think about. And I'm curious, from someone who's not within the theater world, I'm not a writer, I'm not a performer, maybe in my my former days, but not anymore, certainly. But what does this mean for audience members? Like, how is the theater able to convey these ideas and have these discussions in a way that is received or that is like interesting and compelling to the audience members? Like, why do you think that theater has that sense of empathy and is able to share these stories and how people engage with the shows?
I mean, that is a huge question and a really, really interesting question. First of all, we have to develop our audience more than we've done already. I mean, there are some theaters in the United Kingdom and in London particularly who have a very good, diverse audience, and we need that diverse audience. Secondly, I think we need to prepare our audience for controversy. I think audiences need to know that not everything they see will be comfortable. Not everything they see they will agree with. But we are all trying to understand each other. That's the whole point. And an actor friend of mine described theatre in a way I'll never forget. He said it's a place of darkness into which we shine a light. And I thought that was a beautiful description. You know, it's literally and metaphorically true. That's what we're trying to do. So audiences have to be prepared and actors have to be prepared. And when I was working for Complicité, we used to concern ourselves with those things. Preparing an audience, learning from an audience, bringing them up to speed, and then bringing us up to speed. And we had lots of conversations with our audiences. And that's the exciting thing about theatre too, of course. It's live and you can meet the players and you can meet the audience, and it's unique.
I love that. I love that you talked about empathy and the audience and the interaction, and the whole experience of theater, I think, is what makes it so magical. So that's really wonderful. So our last question for you, we want to just ask, what advice do you have for students who are considering studying abroad?
My only advice is do it. You have to do it. I was 17, nearly 18, and I had never left the United Kingdom. And I'm sure that's true of some Americans too. They've never left the United States. Well, you have to do it, especially if it's going to be in a safe environment like the London Study Centre or any of FSU's other centres. It's a fantastic opportunity. And what you learn, of course, is that people are all the same, but they're different. we all have the same needs, but we're all incredibly different. You know, that some of your audience might know the Netflix show, Emily in Paris. My daughters don't like it. They don't think it's any good, but I think it's quite funny. Any case, Emily's an American, you probably know it. She's a young American business person, and she's trying to convince French people to follow her ideas. Well, it's fun. It's hilarious. People are different. And I went to Paris. That's why I was thinking of Emily in Paris when I was nearly 18. And I lived there. I was a nanny. I was a maid, actually. not a maid. I lived in the maid's room, and I was a nanny to two small boys. In any case, you don't have to do that. You just have to come to FSU London or FSU and its other centres. That's the first thing. The second thing I would say is don't forget, you can get all your theatre training or all your academic training that you need with the most wonderful classes, the most professional, exciting faculty. And that's why you should come.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for talking with us today, for your great advice for students, and for just telling us all about theater.
Thanks, Mark.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Before we disembark, we want to talk about FSU London's 50th anniversary celebration. This year marks the 50th anniversary of the first cohort of students FSU hosted in London, and we think that is a golden anniversary worth celebrating. There will be a variety of virtual events throughout the year highlighting the history of FSU London, sharing the voices and experiences of faculty and alumni, lectures on prominent London locations, and more.
You can find a full schedule and list of events on our website by visiting international.fsu.edu and clicking the alumni button. From here, select FSU London's 50th anniversary. This will take you to a page where you can read event descriptions and RSVP to the various events. There's a lot of history to celebrate and a bright future to look forward to, so we hope you'll join us in the celebrations.
Thanks to Mark for speaking with us today, and thank you for joining us for Season 5 of the Knowles Abroad podcast.
This podcast is a production of FSU International Programs. The music for this podcast was composed by John Bartman. Our logo was designed by Vanessa Gire, who also does our sound engineering. Editing, transcription, and research is done by us, Zoe Crook and Hannah Meister.